One of my great pleasures, I have to say, a kind of a guilty pleasure on my part, is that every now and then we get to have somebody who is a listener join us in our studios here. And today it's kind of a double whammy, double blessing, because the person who's in studio with us, Jeff Harter, has been listening to us for a while. And he's also the owner of a company called PC Gladiator. It's one of those local community computer shops that, by the way, was referred to us by one of your very satisfied customers. And we had you, as a matter of fact, as part, if you go to the bottom of our page, part of that Your Trusted Computer Repair Shop. So, Jeff Harter, welcome to the studio here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us as well. You come highly recommended. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about your background and PC Gladiator. We were talking a little bit in the break about that. How did you get into that business?
It was probably 98 when I tore apart my first Sony Vaio. I bought it on eBay, and I paid way too much. And when I got it home, I had torn it all apart and realized it had water damage.
Oh.
So that was my first claim. But that was probably the start of it all, was probably 98. I mean, before, you know, we had Commodore 64.
Well, had you been a tinkerer? Because we know that with Ed, and I think, Cal, you've been a tinkerer, haven't you?
Does the Pope get up on Sunday? I've tinkered all my life.
I've destroyed many machines and tinkered a bit.
You know, actually, to the roots of Jeff's business itself, if it wasn't for tinkering, I would have never owned my first computer because they were too darn expensive.
Yeah.
So I would do stuff like either hang around auctions, or I'd go around places where they were scrapping junk, and, you know, I'd find a case, and then I'd find a power supply somewhere else, and this and that. Or I'd go to business like Jeff's, and I'd go like, okay, then I have to buy the memory and maybe a hard drive.
Yeah.
And then sooner or later, that Frankenstein box would become a computer.
Yeah, there's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something new. Every day I learn something new. For example, if you've ever taken apart a MacBook keyboard, there's just an enormous amount of screws in a MacBook keyboard. There's I think there's about 50 that hold it in. Yeah.
To hold the keyboard itself?
Yeah, and I did my first one about a few months back. Never did one before, but now I know how to do it.
So you started in 98 by doing, you were hands-on doing these kind of things, but you didn't open your business for quite a while.
No, we opened in 09, but before that, it was Craigslist. It was meeting people in not-so-safe places, but that's basically how the business got off. And Craigslist, word of mouth.
And they wanted to buy a refurbished computer.
No, I mean, it was as much as meeting them, picking them up, fixing it, and meeting them again.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay, that's how it started, your repair.
And that was probably, you know, 2003, 2004,
maybe
as early as then.
Okay. So you began to build that, both the expertise of having your hands in the machines and finding out that it takes 50 screws to get
correct
keyboard out Mac, of the Mac.
You know, Macs came in maybe a couple years back. You know, logic boards were easy. You know, the easy stuff, screens, but, you know, I'm doing more and more now.
Mm-hmm.
Macs don't break, so I mean, you don't get, you know, on an average, it's probably 5%.
I have to agree
with
you. With
the shop,
my newest MacBook Pro has not broken. The one I had before that broke continually. I had to replace a screen on it and a whole bunch of other things. Cal, what were you going to say? Something? Are we taking Mac's name in vain here?
Not necessarily. And I wasn't even going to talk about the Mac issue at all. But I did want to talk to Jeff. You know, what inspired you to get involved in a PC repair shop? Because, you know, lately, because they've become such a commodity, people don't normally repair them. They go like, oh, it's not working. I'll toss it out, go out and buy another one. And it's a very, very low-margin business.
Yeah.
What inspired you to want to do this?
It's the interaction with the people. I hear you talk on the show, that personal touch.
Yep. Yeah.
And you get that every day at my shop. You know, I love working with people. And I do not like people getting taken advantage of.
Mm. Well, where do you see that happening, that you react to that?
Taking advantage?
Yeah.
It could be other computer shops. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, even the big shops selling them.
Typically, what is that about?
For example, we talked about upgrading from XP to 7. If somebody brought a computer into my shop that had XP and it didn't meet the absolute minimum requirements, I wouldn't fix it.
Mm.
Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's, you know, on my part, I'm turning away business. But, you know, I have a moral that you know, if it's going to cost $200 to $300, you know, I'm telling the customer, we're going to get you a new one.
Sure.
And we're going to move all your data.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because so often we hear people talking about moving up and, mm-hmm. and if, can't I just fix? Well, it's kind of like trying to fix a Yugo by putting a V6 into it. You know, you might get it to run for a little while, but
there,
it's not
there
run
is the out. Last few years of XP that you can upgrade to 7 and 8. But
yes.
Very few.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a very good point. We're going to talk, matter of fact, a little bit more about this question that was posed on a CNET forum this last week of, you know, of somebody saying, I have to move from XP. What do I do? Where do I go? Is it Linux or what else? Gary?
Well, you know, we all have otherwise fairly nice, still working equipment, and something, one little thing has gone wrong. I've got an HP printer, all-in-one, really nice. Bought it a few years ago. My wireless card is bad. How do I, you know, do I, printers are pretty cheap, right?
Right.
So this was about $100 because it was really nice instead of the cheaper ones. And I should just go out and replace it, but I really don't want to
printers.
Because everything else works.
You know, we don't really, we'll help customers with printers. We don't fix printers.
Right.
There's been establishments by my place that fixes them, but they charge money up front.
Yeah, way and more than
nine times out of ten, you're going to be told that it can't be fixed, and the money's not going to come back.
And you
to
could
you.
Take that $150, perhaps,
correct.
and go buy a pretty decent
HP, for instance, or Brothers. Or
so
whatever.
We'll fix them for people, but rarely do we charge.
Right.
You know,
but using that as the analogy, there's a lot of times you must see computers where you kind of go, yeah, I could fix this, but why don't you just go buy some new technology, put an extra $100 with it, and now you've got it completely up to date.
A lot of times it's the programs that the people have on them that they don't want to lose.
Yes.
They paid all that money for it.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a good reason, right?
Correct.
Yep. I've seen this so often, the calls, like people with, remember the sewing machine, the lady who had the sewing machine with special programs on it that wouldn't run on, so often the problem.
Her computer connected to the sewing machine, and it was almost like a function as a CAD-CAM program for the sewing machine.
Exactly,
right?
Because of stitches and things like that.
So it had the design
on
the computer.
Jeff, get back to a question that Cal asked you, which is, you know, about being in the business of a computer repair shop, being it would seem almost like a death wish at a time when computers are so disposable, like throwaway. But I'm understanding from some people I've talked to that computer businesses, the repair shops, are actually coming back around.
Yeah, we've seen an increase in business over the years. And they don't want to go into the big stores. They want the personal touch.
Sure.
And I get a lot of return customers that they'll come back and they'll buy from me before they go to the big, you know, the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, because computers, rather than just another piece of hardware, very often are kind of personal. You think that's it?
Well, yeah. That and the fact of the matter is that you have to deal with two things. You have to deal with the problem of the computer itself, and you also have to deal with the challenge of what exists between that keyboard and the chair. And it's a combination of sensitivity to that person, reading that person, going like, okay, I see your level, I see where you're at in this whole technology thing. And then what Jeff does and a lot of the other independents will do is to take that information and say, okay, I know what your hardware problem is, and I can kind of see what your software problem is. And if they're really talented, they know how to bring those two together so that they can resolve that problem.
Yeah.
And the person that's sitting there feels comfortable that they're getting a service, they're getting a fair trade for their money, and they walk away as a contented customer.
It almost seems, Jeff, that as much as skill is important in your doing the repairs, diagnosing the problem,
I think,
is almost the more important part.
We give free estimates, free diagnosis on everything. We never charge. Even if we have to tear it apart, we don't charge.
So I have a question, right? A lot of times, I'll bet that people will bring something in and you realize that you have a picnic on your hands, right?
Yes.
A picnic, which is problem in chair, not in computer,
yeah.
Right?
That's what you're
talking
about.
So, I mean, you know, it's still a real problem. Do you provide some training? How do you help people realize that, hey, all they have to do is learn a little bit here, and can you teach them?
Yeah, I do. I mean, to an extent. I'll spend 30 minutes, you know, 45 minutes with somebody, especially if they're buying it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the personal touch. They want it. Yeah. And, you know, we give it to them.
When we come back, we're talking with Jeff Harder, by the way, who is our co-pilot today. He's going to be with us answering questions, by the way, coming up in our second hour.
So ask Hardwick questions.
Yeah. That's right. Our second hour is dedicated to your phone calls and questions. And Jeff Harder from PC Gladiator is going to be in town. When we come back, another question for you about the name PC Gladiator, where that came from, and about Google reviews, which seem to be very important to you. Just a moment. We'll be back. Thank you very much for being with us. But hey, thank you, Crystal Price, smiling at me. She's getting her tonsils all tuned for the next hour to greet you on the phone when you give her a call. And by the way, that number is 800-859-0957. And got a lot of great talent in here to answer your questions.
Did you say tuned tonsils?
Tonsils tuned, yes.
All right.
Rich Lisinski, thank you very much.
We were talking about tuning
Jeff
computers.
Harder, by the way, is in the studio here, by the way.
Yeah, we're talking about tuning computers. Yeah, I guess you could.
But
tune
not
tonsils.
A tuna in a computer.
Yeah, good point.
Here we go.
Okay, here we
all
go.
Right.
There's something fishy about that last
pull it
joke.
Back. Oh, jeez, pull it back. By the way, Cal has a very important announcement about a very important anniversary and a big change coming to the Mac Group in Detroit. We'll do that beginning
next
hour.
Okay, we'll do that in the next hour.
Okay. Jeff Harder's with us from PC Gladiator. Jeff is in Livonia. Jeff, we have links on our homepage at internetadvisor.net to your webpage, so people can go there to find out where you are. You're on the west side of Detroit. Just kind of quickly tell people where you're at.
We are north of Westland Mall on Wayne Road, 9003. We're actually an old 7-Eleven. We're just down from the new 7-Eleven, and our phone number is 734-469-4057, and we fix all computers, laptops, desktops. We also fix Apple products, iPhones, iPads, and we're also a recycling drop-off center.
So when you fix an iPad or especially an iPhone, most of the time, it's a screen break, isn't it? People shatter their screens?
Screen or LCD combined.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and you can fix the screen? I don't have to send it back and pay $100?
No. Nope.
That is nice to hear.
No, you can take it in and pay $100. No, just kidding.
What would something like that cost typically if I wanted just my iPhone screen replaced?
5S?
5S.
It's about $85 to $90.
Okay. But, so it's still a lot cheaper. If I were to break it the first year or so, to go out and replace that because I'm still on
it. Yeah, it was hundreds.
Yeah, it was.
$500
or more.
What is the typical turnaround time on a repair like that?
Probably an hour.
Hey, that's better than sending it back in the mail.
Oh, man. No kidding.
No kidding.
You also sell a lot of used computers as well. So when you say used, like how far back do you go when you're selling
Foster. Previously owned.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me.
We certified pre-owned. Can you certify those?
Actually, at the beginning of this year, I was trying to liquidate all the XP because I knew what was happening, and I believe it was April. But about a month back, I had 100 used laptops, and I'm probably down to about 70 right now.
Okay.
You know, I might have 6 XP, 20 Vista, you know, 30 or 40, Windows 7, and then a handful of 8.
In terms of manufacturers, do you any particular one that you like better than other for turning back around? Like, I know Shane likes Lenovo's because he says, from his experience, they're really good in terms of standing behind the warranties.
I do like Lenovo's. HP's had its problems in the past, so I try to stay away from the certain models. The DV6000, 9000, you know, we all know that model.
Okay.
Everybody has its good and its bad models. But, you know, Toshiba, I like Toshiba a lot.
Some are just easier to work on, aren't they?
Yeah, Toshiba's got a notorious problem with hinges. They all break. Every one will break.
Ed, who was in, if he'd be sitting right next to you, he would be saying amen to that.
As soon as it comes in the door, I say hinges. And we actually have a fix for it. It's not a, you know, the right fix, but it's a cheap fix.
He did.
The customers like it. So.
Does that fix come with a roll of duct tape? No, I'm just kidding.
It's actually
fascinating.
We I'll even tell you how we do it. We actually take it apart, and the screws they were going down into the plastic.
Yes.
The plastic breaks. So what we do is we drill it out, and we come up through the bottom and use those same tabs that were in the plastic.
Right.
And then we put some nice felt over the bottom for them. But, you know, we also tell them we can fix that. You know,
it's
about $100. Yeah. We got to buy a base, and we got to tear it all apart. But the alternative is probably like a $40, $50 fix.
That's very nice. Very nice to hear. Now, you mentioned recycling, and I guess I kind of have a horrifying when I hear that, because typically we've seen the specials on TV where essentially it means it goes to a big dumpster, gets hauled off to some foreign country where poor people are, you know, sucking in these fumes as they try to weld off or probably melt off some of the parts. What is responsible?
Like Saginaw County or something. Yeah.
what's responsible recycling to your way of thinking?
I have a company that comes in about once a month and takes all my recycling, and I'm assured that nothing goes into a landfill. I personally haven't seen it.
But that's okay.
You know, you can drop off anything except CRTs and
CRTs, by the way, are the big old cathode ray tubes. That's the big honking ones that are a doorstop better.
Jeff, the question that I have for you that many people ask me, I'm going to recycle my old computer.
Mm-hmm.
What about that data on my hard drive? How do you handle that?
If you were to bring it into my shop, we take it out for you if you want it. I personally, last I checked, I have 400 hard drives in my back room. They're all bad, or they need to be disposed of. I don't want to sell them to a scrapper because I don't trust it. But essentially, I'm going to have to pay $1 or $2 a piece to have these shredded, and I want to be there when they're shredded. Maybe I'll have you guys, you know, hey, we can do a podcast from the shredder.
There we go. Oh,
and
you can actually shred.
Yeah, and you got to pay for it. So I'm looking at $800 to shred these.
Yeah, wow. Some companies will buy what they call a degausser,
which is a big magnet. We used to use those in radio to clean carts before we recycle.
Exactly. A lot of people just use a drill press. Right?
Yeah, we've experimented
and drill through it
with heavy magnets, and you know we've tried to get the data after that, and we still could. So,
ouch!
Yeah.
Really?
So a drill press or something like that, or big hammer, right?
Yeah, big hammer.
you physically have to break the platens inside or something like that.
Correct.
The platens, actually,
correct
for the information.
Or you could unscrew every single one of them.
There are some decent programs today, though, that will erase them, aren't there?
Well, yeah, but he's talking about units that aren't—they're not actually spinning, but they still have data on them.
Right.
Yeah.
So the other way I've heard that I've done in the past is a blowtorch. Just heat that sucker up till it melts.
Yeah.
A hole through it, and that
just
does
gotta
it.
Just got to stop it from spinning, right?
Or like the Department of Justice does, they take them over to Ford's foundry and lobs them into the furnace. And they just melt them away that way.
But the point is you have to physically destroy them.
Yeah, you have to make it so there's no way possible for
Jeff,
them to read the data.
We're coming up pretty close on the break, and then after that you're going to be part of our team here answering people's questions. I'm curious. I noticed before that you had something on your website about Google reviews being important. First of all, I didn't know you could do reviews on Google about places, like, for instance, your computer shop, PC Gladiator.
Yeah, I wish we would have pushed it from, you know, when we opened, but, you know, I've been asking I ask everybody when they leave, but, you know, we only have around 22 reviews, but it's a opportunity for the customer to, you know, leave an honest review, good or bad.
So how do you do that with Google?
I think you have to have a Gmail account.
Okay, if you have
and
a Gmail account.
As soon as you go to Google and put in PC Gladiator, you just click on it and leave a review and pick how many stars.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you can review it there. Okay, I know with Amazon you can do that. But this is about everything from books to the products that you buy there.
Yeah, and there's other outlets out there. There's Yelp. You know, there's
absolutely. You know, that's one that I've used, for instance, at restaurants to give reviews where there was very good or very bad. But it's really important for you that word gets out to the community that this is a good place to come. Do people refer to that when they come back?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Jeff Harder, he's been our guest here on this part of the program. In order that you may get to know him and kind of get comfortable, because he's going to be here along with Gary Baker and Cal Carson to answer your questions when you call in at 800-859-0957. That's the number to call, 800-859-0957. Get on the horn right now and get in line. And when we come back after the news on the other side, Cal has an important announcement about the Mack Group here in Detroit and a very big change that's coming there. Stay tuned for that on the top of the hour. And also, again, 800-859-0957 is where you get your questions answered about your computers. Please join us this next hour for more of the Internet Advisor.